Good morning to you. We are continuing a series of lessons today, which also will be in conjunction with our small group discussions that will be taking place after our service this morning and into the afternoon. This series is called God's New People, Living the Countercultural Kingdom Lifestyle. And we're exploring together Jesus' sermon in Luke, the sixth chapter. As we do that, today's lesson I've entitled The Blessing of Shortage, which may sound like a bizarre title for a sermon, because we don't normally think about shortage as being a good thing. I mean, when was the last time you got up in the morning and you got a big bowl and you filled that bowl full of Cheerios and then you went to the refrigerator and got the milk and turned the jug upside down and got two drops and you said, "Yay, we're out of milk"? You don't think about that being a blessing. I mean, when was the last time that you looked, guys, to your wife and you said, "Honey, I got good news. It's the 15th of the month and we're out of money"? You normally don't think about shortage being a blessing. You can think about times in the summer when the weather is really hot and there's not been rain in a long time and you get a notice in the mail that says there's a water restriction. So be very careful about washing your car or using excess water because there's a shortage. You don't think about that being a good thing. In fact, everything that we experience in life would tell us that the best life is the life of abundance. But in this sermon, as Jesus starts it, he begins this sermon in the most unexpected way a sermon has ever started. He starts this sermon in the way that we would never expect. And he turns everything upside down and basically says, if you are really looking for the best life, the blessings of life are really found in the places of shortage. And that is really surprising. It's unexpected to think that the pathway to the most blessed life you could live would be in the pathway of shortage. But you know, God has always used broken things to bring about the best things in life. He always has. If you stop to think about it, it is from the broken ground that the new life of seeds and wheat come forth. It is from the broken clouds that rain comes to give water to the earth and make plants live and crops thrive. It is from the broken grain at the miller's stone that bread comes forth to give us nourishment and life. God has always used broken things to bring about the best things that we truly do need. When Jesus begins this sermon, as we saw in part one of this series, he is looking at a crowd of broken people. The people that have come to Jesus have come from long distances, and they have come from a lot of different places in life, but they all seem to share one thing in common. They're all broken. It's the people that are in need because they're sick. It's the people that are in need because they find themselves possessed by demons. It is those people that have tremendous problems in their life that fill the crowd that Jesus speaks this sermon to. His crowd is filled with people that have need, people of shortage, people that are broken. Now, the reason that is so significant is because broken people are the people that are perfectly positioned to receive the blessings of God. If there was one thing I wanted you to remember from today's sermon, I think it would be this: that it's only whenever we're broken and humbled and empty of ourselves that we're ready to receive the blessings that God is really ready to give. So that's the perfect position, is to be in a place of shortage, a place of need, a place of want, because then you realize that I'm dependent upon God for what I need the most. So our sermon text today is in Luke 6, 20 through 23, looking at his disciples. Now, it says he speaks this to the disciples, but if you read previously in the passage, you discover that the crowd is not just filled with his disciples, it is filled with people that have traveled from every area you can imagine, even coming from the far distant coast. Even Gentiles are in the audience outside of God's people, Israel, at this time. And they have all come because Jesus has something appealing, and he's offering something that is radically different than the religions of the world and the empty promises that they had made. Jesus offers true healing, true help. He offers real rest in the presence of God. And so Jesus begins his sermon this way. Here's his introduction to his sermon. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, and when they insult you, and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. This sermon in Luke 6 is a sermon that Jesus preached on many occasions. It seems to be his trademark sermon. I don't know how often he preached this sermon, but we have at least two different occasions when he preached it. One time he preached it on a mountain, and he preached an extended version of it that's found in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. This seems to be a different occasion when Jesus is, after he's appointed his apostles, he comes down on a level place with his crowd, and he teaches essentially the same sermon, but it's abbreviated and has some variation to it. And so we're very familiar as Christ followers with what we would call the Sermon on the Mount or the Sermon on the Plain, because it is ground zero for what it means to be a disciple. It's what it means to be the people God is calling us to be that are radically different from the people of the world, the kingdoms of the world. I dare say if you've been in the church any period of time or in any Christian community, you have heard sermon after sermon, been in class after class on this sermon. You have dissected it every which way. But I want you to know this morning that you may be just a little too familiar with this sermon. You might think you know what the Beatitudes, what we call the Beatitudes, that's the introduction of this sermon. You may think you know what Jesus is saying, but you may be a bit mistaken too. It's possible to read this list as the sermon begins as a list of things that you should do or ways that you should be. But if you read it like that, it is what we might call pretty poison. Here's what I mean. I think a lot of times we read the Beatitudes and we think, okay, this is a to-do list for how I need to enter God's kingdom. If I want to enter God's kingdom, I need to be poor in spirit. I need to be a peacemaker. I need to be grieve and have repentance in my heart and all of that. And we think it's a to-do list, entrance requirements for the kingdom. Things that we should be, things we should cultivate in our lives. Now, while that may be true, I'm convinced that is not what Jesus is saying in the beginning of this sermon. This is not a to-do list or a to-be list, but rather, this is an invitation list. Here's why that is such an important distinction to note. If you go to these Beatitudes and you think, okay, this is the standard that I've got to live up to in order to enter the kingdom, These are the things I need to do, the attitudes I need to cultivate in my life if I'm going to be right with God. If you read it that way, then these are not blessings. You can't read this and say, blessed are people that do these things, because really what they will be is a burden to you. Because you will realize in your heart of hearts, I can never be pure in heart the way God's calling me to be. I can never consistently be the peacemaker He wants me to be. I can't consistently be poor in spirit the way that He wants me to be. And so rather than finding blessing and life and energy and spiritual empowerment from this sermon, it sounds like a downer right out of the gate, something that's impossible to live up to. And we may tend to think that Jesus begins this sermon in such a way that it sounds like this is a highly exclusive members-only club of the spiritual elite. We may tend to read it this way. Here's who the kingdom is for. An exclusive group of people that have attained this level of spiritual enlightenment. Let me tell you something, friend. That's not what Jesus is saying here. This is not a to-do list. It is an invitation list. Better yet, it is an object lesson. It's show and tell time. You remember show and tell time? Whenever you went to kindergarten or first grade, there would be a day of the week when it was your turn to do show and tell. And you would bring something from home, an object that was very precious to you, and you would come and you would stand in front of the class and you would say, look at this object, here's why it's important to me, here's the significance of it. Show and tell. This sermon begins not with Jesus giving moral mandates. None of these are presented. Now, there are commands or imperatives in the sermon, but the blessings that the sermon begins with are not imperatives. They're not directives. They're not commands. They're simply stated facts of a show and tell. Jesus is casting His eyes on the crowd, and He is describing who He sees. Here are the people that He sees in His crowd. The down and outs, the misfits, the people stricken with poverty, the people that are overwhelmed with the grief of life. And He looks at these people that had no advantage, no way to get a leg up in life, that were about ready to throw the towel in, and these are the people, as a last-ditch effort to find any hope in life, have come to this itinerant preacher, Jesus of Nazareth, because they think maybe He's got something to offer. And He starts the sermon in a very optimistic way, and He says, if you've come to Me and you're poor, you've come to the right place. You're going to find blessing. If you've come to Me and you've got nothing left in you, you're at the end of your rope, great. This is where you'll find blessing. If you've come to Me and you're grieved by life, great. This is the place to come. I'm inviting people who are broken. Why? Because there is a blessing in shortage. Because in shortage, you're really ready to receive. The way that people that are full of life, full of themselves, are not ready. This is not a how-to-do list about how to be blessed, but instead, it is a description of the availability of the kingdom of God. Jesus looks at this crowd that has assembled to Him, and they came to Him trying to find blessing. And Jesus says, listen, the best life you can live is not where you think it might be found. All of us are looking for how to flourish as human beings, how to experience the best life now, as one book has recently called it. And we think it's found in prosperity, or it's found in riches, or provision, or joy, or popularity. And the religious systems of Jesus' day had left too many people out of that. They had left people out of it had not been a place of blessing for them. Many people were written off. But Jesus comes to the common people, the broken people, and He says, the kingdom is for you. It's not for the best and the brightest. It's not for the spiritual elite. This is a revolutionary new basis for approval before God. He looks at this motley crew and he says, "You are God's new people." I like what Dallas Willard said. He said, "If you want to know God's address, look at the end of your rope. That's where God lives." All of us, I think, if you're here today, you probably would not be here unless there is something deep inside of you that longs to feel a deeper connection with God. All of us want to know Him, to know that we're living in alignment with the way we were made, to come to know better our Creator and understand our purpose. All of us want to experience God and know Him in deeper and richer ways. And you say, "How can I find God?" God is living at the places where we're at the end of our rope, when we finally have emptied ourselves of ourselves, when we are broken by life, and finally we've gotten to the place where we're ready to receive Him. So when Jesus says, as He looks at His crowd, "Blessed are the poor. Blessed are the hungry. Blessed are those that are grief-stricken. Blessed are those that are hated and hurt because of their association with Me." He's essentially saying this, to put it another way. Blessed are the physically repulsive. Blessed are those who smell bad. Blessed are the twisted, the misshapen, the deformed, the too big, the too little, the too fat, the too loud, the too bald, the too old. For they will be celebrated in God's kingdom. Because you see, there is blessing in shortage. Those that don't have realize they need. And usually, the depth of our need is found when we're broken and at the end of our rope. You see, the Beatitudes are a profile. They are a profile of the kind of heart that is receptive to Jesus. I like what A.W. Tozer once wrote. He said, "A deeper knowledge of God is always found in the lonely valleys of soul poverty." And I think that's what Jesus is talking about, that when you experience emotional soul poverty, when you experience the scarcity of life, the grief of life, the exclusion of life, it's then that you're most receptive to God's rescue. Did not Jesus say that in His kingdom, everything is turned upside down? The values of the world are not the values of the kingdom. In fact, it is the thing that the world despises, that God elevates, so that Jesus would say, "In My kingdom, the first in this world will be last, and the last in this world will be first." God's kingdom is a kingdom of the lasts have become the firsts. Now, why is that? Because again, those that experience emotional poverty are ready and most receptive to God's rescue. You see, really, Jesus is contrasting the ways of the world versus the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. It's radically different. All of the ethics, the values, the mechanics of the way life works in the kingdoms of the world are exactly the opposite of the kingdom of heaven. And you see, the problem comes in is we experience spiritual frustration when we as Christians claim to be in the kingdom of heaven, but we still are operating under the values of the kingdom of the world. The kingdom of the world, you see, values power and satisfaction and comfort and recognition, whereas the kingdom of heaven, it's exactly the opposite. That it's in places of our weakness, when we acknowledge our need and we're grieving for something else. Whenever we know that we're excluded, therefore we need to lean upon someone else. that makes us receptive to not being ruled by me in this world, but by being ruled by God. The Apostle Paul came to really recognize this whenever he wrote some rather startling words in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He said, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, "It is when I am weak that then I am strong, because God's power is perfected in my weakness." And so Paul says, "I will not do like my enemies who boast about all of their accomplishments. The only thing I will boast about is my weaknesses. I will celebrate and confess and acknowledge openly, in a transparent and vulnerable way, all of my weaknesses. Because whenever I bring my weaknesses out, I'm acknowledging the fact that I am dependent upon God for His strength. That I am unable to be successful and flourish as a human being by my own effort. And so I just surrender to not ruling my life by me, but allowing God to rule my life." You see, the lasts are the firsts. There's a song that some of you have probably heard. We sing a lot of different songs about this. Corey mentioned it this morning when he mentioned at the table the song, "I Come Broken." And in just a few moments, we're going to sing the song, "Break My Heart." All of these songs are trying to speak to our hearts the truth of the blessing of shortage. That really, whenever I realize my need, that then, when my hands are open instead of clenched, I'm ready to receive the blessings of God. There's a song by Matthew West called "Broken Things." I want to read you the lyrics to it. It says, "If grace is a kingdom, I've stopped at the gate, thinking I don't deserve to pass through after all the mistakes I've made. But I hear a whisper as heaven bent down and said, 'Child, don't you know the first will be last and the last get a crown? Now I'm just a beggar in the presence of a king. I wish I could bring you so much more. But if it's true you use broken things, then here I am, Lord, and I am all yours. The pages of history, they tell me it's true that it's never the perfect. It's always the ones with the scars that you use. It's the rebels and the prodigals. It's the humble and the weak. The misfit heroes you choose. Tell me there's hope for sinners like me. Grace is a kingdom. With gates open wide, there's a seat at the table just waiting for you. So come on inside." That's what Jesus is saying in the opening of this sermon. It is an invitation as He looks at His crowd of people that are in great need, and He says, "You've come to the right place. You're broken. Come on in. You're ready to receive it." So I ask you this morning, are you ready to receive this message? Because this concept that we've explored this morning is absolutely at the center of everything the gospel is. The gospel is this: your only hope of salvation is to put your trust in the free gift of God's grace that you need. You can only receive grace when you realize you need it. When you acknowledge that you are absolutely helpless by your own effort to be what you know you should be. And therefore you come to Jesus and you assemble in His crowd and you say, "I come broken and I'm ready. I'm ready for you to pour blessing into me because I've emptied myself." And so this morning, the challenge that I would leave you with are two concepts. Number one, when you confess your weakness, that is not a sign of spiritual deficiency. It is a sign of spiritual maturity. It is a sign when you confess your weakness. It is a sign that you are saying, I believe the gospel. I believe in my need for grace. I surrender to my need for a Savior. So never as Christians let us be ashamed to be open and vulnerable and be people of confession. To be people that acknowledge our need. To say that my strength is not in me, my strength is in Jesus. And then secondly, let's be a people that proclaim the message of grace to this community and to the world. Let's do everything we can by our own personal lives, by our own demeanor, by our actions, by our warmth of welcome in relationships, to tell people, if you are broken and you feel weak and you feel like you don't measure up and you feel like you don't know where to turn, come and assemble at the feet of Jesus and come be among God's people. You are welcome here. This is the place for the broken. This is the place for those that grieve. This is the place for those that are stricken by poverty. This is the place where you can find the blessing that you're looking for. Today, do you come broken? Do you acknowledge your need? Have you gotten to a place in your life where you recognize that you need Jesus and you really, really have never truly let Him in? We would love to assist you this morning in helping you to let Him in. If we can pray for you, if we can study with you, if we can answer any of your questions, maybe you're ready to say, hey, I'm just ready to give my life wholly to Jesus. We would help you in every way we can to respond to the message of grace through your repentance, your confession, your baptism. If we can help you, come to Jesus, because guess what? True blessing is found in your shortage. Because when you acknowledge your shortage, that's when the abundance of Jesus can come in, as we stand and as we sing.